Thank you, Sam. Our next set of stories begins with a foodie hotspot for Norwich City footballers. A cosy cafe in the Golden Triangle has become an unlikely hotspot for football fans and players alike. Chris Dunn, owner of The Unthanked Kitchen, is a devoted Norwich City supporter and season ticket holder in the Barclay Stand. Since opening in 2005, the 48-year-old has made it his mission to lure his beloved Canaries into the cafe for a hearty breakfast and a spot on the Wall of Fame, which proudly displays photos of players and staff who have visited. Those gracing the wall include current stars Josh Sargent, Jose Cordoba, and Ashley Barnes, as well as retired club legends such as Wesley Houlihan, Brian Gunn, Darren Huckabee, and Ewan Roberts. The cafe recently hosted a Talk City Norwich podcast with defender Jose Cordoba, who inspired a Panamanian corn tortilla special on the menu. Currently on the specials board is the Borcha Banger, a chorizo, halloumi and rocket sandwich, which goes up whenever the Spaniard scores one of his incredible goals. A match day breakfast deal runs on home game days that includes a small full English with tea or coffee for £10, of which £2 is donated to the Big C charity. Mr. Dunn hopes his specials and match day offers make the cafe a staple for fans heading to Carrow Road.
A family-run City Butcher is set to celebrate its 100th anniversary since first opening its doors this Christmas. Harvey's Butcher was opened in Tombland in 1924 by a keen hunter and poacher, Reginald Harvey, and specialised in selling wild rabbits. With the outbreak of myxomatosis in the 1950s, a type of pox that affected rabbits, he and his son Robert started offering other game, such as deer and partridge. Robert's son Nigel, the current owner of the business, was in school when he learned his father had Parkinson's disease and he would have no choice but to join the butchery after his education, which he did in 1966. 4 years later, Nigel was running the shop and in 1985 he made the decision to move it to 63 Grove Road, which was easier to get to. With up to 1,000 head of game delivered in any one day, we were having real problems with access, he said, in October 1985, after the move.
Tension is mounting over the future of Norfolk councils, with the starting gun on a new scramble for power predicted to be fired in the week beginning the 16th of December. The prospect of councils being abolished and redrawn in the biggest shake-up of local government in Norfolk and Waveney since 1974, is expected to take a significant step forward within days. The imminent publication of a government white paper will trigger jostling for position as to which councils would continue to exist and which could disappear. Labour ministers, who pulled the plug on devolution deals the previous government had offered to Norfolk and Suffolk, are keen to transfer powers from Whitehall to the two counties. But it has signalled a revived deal would have to come with local government reorganisation and a Norfolk and Suffolk mayor. That elected mayor would lead a combined authority for the two counties and have powers over big-ticket items such as transport, economic development and infrastructure. The shift is likely to see the current two-tier system of county councils and the city, borough and district authorities abolished and replaced with at least two or possibly more unitary councils. The current two-tier system, which means Norfolk has Norfolk County Council, Norwich City Council, Great Yarmouth Borough Council, Broadland District Council, South Norfolk Council, Breckland District Council, North Norfolk District Council, and West Norfolk Council, was introduced in 1974. The County Council is currently responsible for services such as adult social care, children's services, libraries, museums, and running waste tips, while districts deal with housing, leisure centres and parks. Unitary authorities would run all of those services. In some areas where local government has been restructured, parish and town councils, which cover much smaller areas, have been strengthened further, but some areas with unitary authorities don't have any.
A Norfolk MP has warned that poultry farmers could be forced out of the industry because it is near impossible to get insurance for bird flu outbreaks. South Norfolk MP Ben Goldsborough outlined the growing list of disease threats facing farmers as he led his first Westminster Hall debate on the topic of biosecurity. They included avian influenza, which had a devastating effect on East Anglia's poultry industry in 2022 to 2023 and returned to Norfolk this week with a case confirmed near Watton. Mr. Goldsborough said, South Norfolk farmers have told me that they find it near impossible to get insurance cover for avian influenza outbreaks, creating the risk that producers will be forced to leave the industry. He asked DEFRA Minister Daniel Zeichner to investigate the possibility of picking up where the insurance providers are dropping the ball and consider a state-backed scheme to help affected farmers to re-enter the poultry industry following an outbreak. After the debate, Mr. Goldsborough said, strong biosecurity is crucial to Norfolk's rural economy and our food security.
Norfolk is known for its famous flat scenery, but despite this, a new Netflix series has depicted it with shots of misty mountainous terrain. Senna explores the life of racing driver Ayrton Senna, played by Gabriel Leone, who won 3 Formula One championships before he died after a crash at the San Marino Grand Prix in 1994. Producers have been quick to point out that it is a fictionalised version of events, although it does follow Senna's timeline from his arrival in Norfolk in the early 1980s to that devastating on-track moment. In the first episode, viewers see Senna driving at Snetterton Circuit, which is surrounded by high peaks and dramatic clouds. Instead of filming these scenes at the circuit off the A11, the producers decided to shoot in Argentina at the Juan Manuel Fangio Circuit, more than 7,000 miles away from Norfolk. Senna rented a home in Eton in 1981 while racing for Ralph Firman's Van Diemen, which was based at Snetterton. And when the Brazilian reached Formula One, he drove for Team Lotus at Ethel.